We are now at the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let's praise the Lord for allowing us to go through. I believe all of us have been learning a lot in this letter of Paul. But let's look at this summary so that we are reminded of those topics that we discuss in this chapter. In this book. Because Paul wrote this book because there are issues in the church in Corinth. And here are the issues. Can we flash that on the screen? First issue is the issue on unity. That's why we talked about resolving conflict. Who among you still are having conflicts with your family? Can you raise your hand? I believe all of us, okay? All of us are still experiencing that. That's why I highly encourage you, if you weren't able to see this message or watch this message, watch it on YouTube or on our Facebook page. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And these are the passages that we use to talk about that. And there's a problem also of how to grow spiritually. That's why we talked about choosing God's wisdom over earthly wisdom, serving Christ, because that's a sign of growth, disciplining our body. If athletes need to discipline their body, we also need to discipline our body so that we can grow in the Lord. We honor God with our body. And again, these are the passages that you can look at. And then Paul talked about genuine love, because the church needed to know how to love one another the right way, not the way that the world is teaching us. That's why pure love is very important. You know, one of the problems in the church of Corinth? Impurity, immorality. So he's talking about, that's not real love. So he's also talking about surrendering our rights. That's genuine love. Love that is defined by God, not defined by the world. And we need to build up one another with the use of our spiritual gift. And also another issue in the church of Corinth is proper worship. They don't know how to worship God the right way. And if you look at the Old Testament until today, God wants orderly worship. So the topics there are living for God's glory, orderly worships, and the use of our spiritual gifts, which is for one another. And then finally, in our series, Making Your Life Count, we talked about the resurrection. And it's so timely. After discussing all the issues, he ended with chapter 15, and of course chapter 16 we're going to discuss today. He mentioned the resurrection at the tail end to emphasize to the people the importance of the gospel and the mindset that we need to live for eternity. So that's chapter 15. Now, how do we apply this as a church? How does our church make a difference in this world? So if we're talking about making your life count, which is very important, we also need to talk about, as we close this series, how do we make our church count to make a difference in this world? The reason why God started the movement of the church, because he wants his body to make an impact in this world. In fact, in John 17, this is the prayer of Jesus. Let's read this together. In John 17, 20, verse 21, and we share this at the start of the series. Look at what Jesus Christ prayed. Let's read this together. I do not ask you on behalf of these alone, not just the disciples, but for those who also believe in me through their word, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. So that, what's the result of this unity? The world may believe that you sent me. That's the desire of God, that we are united. In fact, I like this statement. Individually, we can make a difference. No doubt. With your skills, with our giftedness, we can make a difference. But corporately, we can change the world. Henry Ford said this. Look at what he said. He said, coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. When his company started becoming successful, he attributed it not in his own strength, wisdom, strategic thinking. He attributed it to the teamwork. Those who are in the marketing side, those in the manufacturing side, he attributed it to the people working together. If big companies know this principle of teamwork, they apply it, and this is a biblical principle, we should apply it also in our church. Because when the church is united, the world will be impacted greatly. Our message for today, as we close this series, very simple. Let's read this together. Together, let's abound in God's work. So tell your seatmate, 1, 2, 3, go. Together, let's abound in God's work. After the resurrection, now Paul is talking about chapter 16, telling the people, we have work to do. And why do we need to abound in God's work? Because look at this passage. How he ended chapter 15. Let's read this together. I love chapter 15, verses 57 to 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the... We have the victory already. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since God, Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead. In other words, in the end, panalo tayo. We're not gonna lose. We're gonna be with him forever. His body, the body of Christ. What's our role now? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. You have to be strong. Dapat matibay ka in Tagalog. You have to be immovable, committed to the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because what's the result of this? Knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in, it's not gonna be in vain. Do you know that the only purpose that will not be in vain in the end is the purpose that God has given to us? That's the only purpose. That's why there are a lot of people, they've been grinding in work, achieving a lot of success, but still in the end, they feel empty. Why is that? Because worldly success will not make us say, wow, my labor is not in vain. It's not gonna make you say that. Maybe in your mind, you're trying to think, now, yes, I'm feeling that. But the only way that you will feel that your work is not in vain is if you do the work of the Lord. It doesn't mean that you all go full time. That's not what Paul is saying here. It means that wherever God has placed you, you have a mission. Tell your seatmate, you have a mission. So gising na. We all have a mission. That's what the church is all about. That's why together, let's abound in God's work. What's our mission? God's work for us is to accomplish His mission here on earth. And we are very, very much familiar of this mission. In Matthew 28, let's read this together. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God wants the church to be united, to accomplish this wherever God placed us, whether here in the Philippines, those joining us online, wherever you are in the world, whether you're studying, whether you're working, you have a business, God wants to use your life to make an impact. But the thing is, we have to be united. That's why our message again is what? Together, let's abound in. Now, how do we do that? How do we abound in God's work? I'm so glad Paul mentioned chapter 16, because he's going to discuss this. Because in chapter 16, he mentioned two very important ways to abound in God's work. Number one, we need to give abundantly. And number two, we need to love abundantly. Now, where can we find this? Let's look at giving abundantly first. You know, giving, the reason why he ended it in chapter 16 with the purpose of also telling the people we need to give. Because giving is an act of love. In fact, there's that statement, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. So it's one way or one of the best ways to show that we love someone. So can you ask your seatmate, do you love me? Man libre ka naman. So mamaya, magpalibre ka. No, seriously. Look at John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He... Oh. Even God Himself modeled that. The greatest act of love that was done to us human beings is when God gave His only Son to die for your sins and my sins. Giving is one of the best ways that we show love to the body of Christ, to the Lord, to the body of Christ, to His church. So, Paul talked about it. That's why in the first verse of chapter 16, this was his topic. Now concerning the collection for the saints. So the church is aware that they are collecting money for the body of Christ. That's the purpose of the collection of money. For the Lord, His work, and for the body of Christ. And look at what he says in verse 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save. In other words, it's their culture. Paul has reminded them and called them, you have to do your part. Yes, individually we save, but corporately we gather this money in support for the Lord's work and for His people. And then he mentioned, as He may prosper, so that no collection be made when I come. There's a process where how they collect money. It's not just in Corinth, it's in Galatia, Thessalonica, Ephesus, in different churches they collect money. And this was a practice even before, look at Acts chapter 2. All those who had believed were together. They had all things in common and they began what? Selling their property, possessions, and were sharing with them all. That's a natural response of God's grace. Because we've received God's grace, you want to give. That's their culture. And it carried over in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Thessalonica. And look at the accountability that they have. Because sometimes when you collect money, Some people might use it in wrong ways, but look at their accountability. Look at verses 3 and 4. When I arrive, so Paul is going to visit them, whomever you may approve. So there's a approval system that you need to appoint someone that is worthy and trustworthy. I will send them with letters so that the people, maybe Peter or James, when they receive the money, they know that it's legit. They know that it came from Corinth and Paul approved of this. Letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem, and if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. That's their accountability system. You know, I appreciate that here in our church, we have a very good accountability system. Our leaders, our tithes, our money, it's being audited by a reputable company. It's accountability because we don't want to be, you know, just waste money. We want to be good stewards of God's money that He has given to us for His work. Now, look at the reasons why we need to give. Here are the reasons why we need to give to the church. And this is all biblical. First reason, to accomplish the Great Commission. That's why these passages are there. Acts 1 verse 8, that we need to be witnesses all over the world. 1 Corinthians 9, whatever it takes, I will preach the gospel. 2 Timothy 4, 2, the preaching of the gospel in season and out of season. Accomplishing the great work of God, the Great Commission. That's why the money that we use, we want to help more people know Jesus. We want to go to the schools. We want to conduct retreats. We want to do everything that we can so that more people will know Jesus. Here's the second reason why we need to give to the church. Help those in need, in church and those outside of the church. That's why we have our uplift, helping those who are haven't graduated school. We have the tulong tayo, those who are experiencing tragedies or maybe sickness, the dental mission, different kinds of missions that we do. And even the New Testaments, they do it. And then number three, we support what? Church workers, so that they continue to do the work of God. Our full-time staff, our pastors, our missionaries, and it's also biblical. These are the reasons why we give to the church. The reason why I want to show this to you, because we need to have a biblical understanding why giving is important. Yes, we do it to honor God, but these are the specific ways that the money of the church is being used. In fact, that's why we have our Elevate Month. We are challenging people to support our campus missionaries. Again, it was mentioned many times, but we have over 250 workers. They are doing this as their daily job. They go to the campus, they share the gospel, they disciple students so that our country, the next generation, will be godly, will be protected from evil. So please, I encourage you, pray. Support maybe financially our campus missionaries. That's one of the applications that you can do. But there are many applications that you can do this. That's why we give. And here's also another blessing to us. So that's the reason why we give to the church. But there's also a personal impact why we need to give. And here's the personal impact. Number one, we what? We honor God. God is blessed when we give. And not just that, we learn stewardship. What is stewardship? It's saying that the money is not yours. God gave it to you. And you need to be good stewards with that. Right? That's stewardship. If we feel like the money is really ours, we're just going to use it for selfish reasons. If we learn to give, it protects us from materialism. It blesses us. On the contrary, that's people say, if I give, I'm going to lose money. No. In God's economy, when you give, you're blessed more. So tell your seatmate, that's why you give me something this Christmas. Go. Tell your seatmate. Kasi sabi, oh, do you know in God's economy, it's counterintuitive. It's the only giving that you get something in return. I'm not saying monetarily you get something, but you're blessed. And also our faith grows. Our faith is tested. I think, I personally, one of the greatest tests of our faith is the usage of our money. One of the greatest tests of our faith. Because sometimes we love money more than we love God. We love success more than we love God. So that's why even in the Old Testament, God was teaching the Israelites, you have to give. And that's why in the New Testament, this is still being practiced, the collection for the saints. Now, some Christians would argue, you know, Pastor Marty, maybe Paul is just talking about offering, not tithing. Now, a lot of you may not understand what's the difference between tithing and offering. But some people, because they watch a lot of videos, they look at a lot of theologians, they feel like, Paul is not talking about tithing because tithing are just for the Israelites. But let's look at the difference and let's look at what the Bible is saying. Tithing versus offering. What's the difference? Tithing is the tenth, the 10% of everything we earned grew for the Lord, and it's going to, we give it to the Lord, His people, and His work. In the Old Testament, that was a practice. And some theologians say, no, no, that's just for the Israelites, because you won't hear tithing in the New Testament. Jesus mentioned that in the book of Matthew, but Paul never mentioned tithing. Now, offering is freely given over and above our tithe for the Lord, His people, and His work. Now, here's my encouragement to us. We don't need to debate if that's tithing or offering, because the principle is the same. What's the goal of tithing? Para kanino? For the Lord, for His people, and what's the goal of offering? For the Lord, His people, and oh, it's the same thing. So why do we need to debate on something that we don't need to die for? In CCF, we practice tithing because it accomplishes God's goal. It's still the same. We want people to exercise this. And I also believe, biblically, God has never said that tithing has stopped, because the principle is the same. It honors God. It blesses us. We learn stewardship. It blesses the work of the Lord. It's for God's expansion. What's our message again together? Let's abound in. So tell your seatmate, let's abound in God's word. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's abound in God's work. Now, I like giving because giving is a natural response of someone who is a recipient of God's amazing grace. It's actually innate in us. It's natural. You know why I say it's natural? For example, you got promoted from your job. Or let's say you graduated with honors. Or let's say the girl that you've been praying for said yes. Diba, there's that innate feeling or urge to invite some of our friends who help us reach that goal, and then you're gonna treat them over lunch. Diba? There's that feeling na, hey, let's go out. Why? I got promoted. Libre kita. Diba? Why is that like a culture? Not just in the Philippines, all over the world, that's a culture. If you get something like a promotion, if you get really successful in your business, you want to treat others. It's like, it's a sign of gratitude to other people, because that's the natural response when we are blessed. Now, what more when you know God has blessed you, when you know your eternity is secure, when you know that Jesus died and He rose again and you are victorious in the end? What's the natural response? I'm going to give. Look at Jacob in the Old Testament. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, I will give me food to eat, garments to wear, and return to my father's house in safety. What's his commitment? The Lord will be my God. He doesn't know God that intimately yet during this time. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, what did Jacob say? I will surely give a. Now, tithing wasn't institutionalized yet. God didn't give that as a command to the Israelites yet. But it was a culture to them. For them, that's gratefulness. And not just that, in the book of Exodus, everyone whose heart steered him, everyone whose spirit moved him, came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting. Again, for the work of the Lord, for all its services, for the people who are serving, and the holy garments. That's a natural response. So if you are really grateful for what God has done in your life, you are going to give. Can you ask your seatmate, are you grateful? Ayan. Mamaya ah, libre mo naman ako. Okay, so later, libre. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus Christ said, and again, giving is a heart issue. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And I like that verse because during the pandemic, it has become more real to us. For example, you like branded stuff. I'm not against any branded stuff. But during the pandemic, were you able to use it? You don't use it. Unless you use it in Zoom, that you're carrying your bag and there's a Zoom meeting. Yes, you're showing the logo of your bag. No, you can't use it. You can't use your expensive shoes. You can't use your expensive watch and show to them that, hey, during the meeting, you don't do that. So all of these stuff, we realize during the pandemic, it's useless. But then after the pandemic, ayan, bili na ng bili kagad. I'm just kidding. So going to verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. And here's the principle. Let's read the principle together. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a heart issue. If we are grateful, you're gonna give. Especially to what God has done. Especially to what Jesus Christ has done in your life. You're gonna give to His work so that many people will be blessed. And if our hearts are not aligned to God, look at the consequence. Will a man rob God? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. Yet you are robbing me, the Israelites, robbing the Lord. How have we robbed you, Lord? In tithes and offerings. And what's the consequence? You are cursed with a curse. It's really that bad. He repeated it. Cursed with a curse. Because you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And then he compared it, if you don't rob him, what's going to happen? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this. You won't find any other passage that God says, test me now in this, except here. If you test me, I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And you know that principle in the Old Testament, it's also same in the New Testament. What's in the New Testament? Give. It will be given to you. They will pour it into your lap. A good measure. Press down. It's like a piece of sack and you want to put more. You press it down and then you shake it together because there are some empty spaces there and keep putting more stuff there. It's running over. It's overflowing. For by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in. That's the principle that God wants us to apply. You know, I've learned this principle because there was this time that me and my wife, we had this ministry trip. So the flight was covered already. But of course, there are personal expenses. We need funds for personal expenses in that trip. So we needed funds. But we don't have enough funds. So we prayed. We booked the flight by faith. We prayed and asked God, okay, Lord, please provide for us because the trip is going to be a few months time, but we don't have enough funds. And then during that waiting season, I was tempted to not continue because I'm supporting campus missionaries. Imagine, I'm supporting campus missionaries and I was tempted to stop my support so that I could have enough funds for our ministry trip. I'm sorry and I'm confessing, I'm from Elevate and then there's that temptation. But I'm just being honest with you. I was tempted, so for the campus missionaries here, sorry kung na-feel ko yon. But I was tempted not to continue giving. But then my wife was very faithful to the Lord. She said, no, let's continue giving to our campus missionaries. And, you know, God will provide for us. And I was telling her also, yes, God will provide for us. But there's that temptation in my heart. You know, 1 month, we continued to give. But 1 month before that trip, somebody gave us an amount of money exactly, let me repeat that, exactly what we need for our personal expenses in that ministry trip. Is our God good? Come on, let's give glory to our Lord. You know, when I hear stories of pastors sharing those blessings that when they give, they receive also. Before, it was just like a theory or something like, okay, that's their experience. I haven't been experiencing that. But then when I experience it, totoo pala talaga. God is really good. That's why you'll never go wrong when you give to the Lord. Because when you give, that principle, give and it will be given to you. I'm not saying that when you give, you're gonna be a millionaire, or you're gonna be a billionaire. No. Because God's blessing could be good health. Can you buy good health? You can't buy good health. There are a lot of rich people and they use all of their money, but still to no avail. Because only God is the ultimate healer. Can you buy good relationship with your family? Maybe you can use your money to spend time with your family, but to have a solid relationship with your wife, God can make that happen. So those are blessings that you cannot buy. How about fulfillment in life? A lot of people are successful. They have so much money, but still their life is empty. You cannot buy fulfillment. Only God can give that to you. Those are blessings that money cannot buy. That's why God tells us, commands us to give. What's our message again? Let's read it together. Together, let's abound in God's work. Again, tell your seatmate. 1, 2, 3, go. Together. And so the first one is we give. So God commands us, the body of Christ. Imagine all of us worldwide, the CCF movement. We give together to support the work of the Lord. It's going to change this country. It's going to change this world. And not just giving, but God calls us to love abundantly. And I know it has been a repeated theme in the 1 Corinthians. Conflict, how do you resolve it? We need to love one another. 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love. And then other passages all over 1 Corinthians. And then he ended again with love. Because he wanted the church to truly love one another. If we have encountered genuinely God's grace, the gospel, we are going to love one another. And look at John 13. This is what Paul's desire is. The prayer of Jesus, his command to the disciples. A new command I give to you. You love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, what's going to happen? All men will know you are my disciples. That's how they come to know Jesus, when we love one another. In fact, that's how they get, somehow they get farther away from Jesus when they see Christians not loving one another. And that's why, look at this statement, the world needs to see what genuine love is in the way we spend time, in the way we act, and the words that we say to each other. In 1 Corinthians, this is how Paul modeled it. But I will go, look at verse 5. I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, and then for I'm going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that I may send, that you may send me on my way wherever I go. So he plans to spend time. Look at the next verse. I do not wish to see you now in passing. Meaning to say, if I go there, ayoko yung napadaan lang in passing. I hope to remain with you for some time. Now you know in the entire 1 Corinthians series that we have, that Paul, there are people in Corinthians that they don't like Paul, right? There are people in Corinth that they prefer to follow Apollos. They prefer to follow Cephas. There are people in Corinth who disrespects Paul. Now, do you love to spend time with people who don't like you? Who among you love to spend time with people who don't like you? Can you ask your seatmate, do you love to spend time with me? Sana yes, okay? But look at Paul. He knows already that there are people who don't like him in Corinth, but he still hopes to spend time with these people who don't like him. Look at what he says. I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. A wide door for an effective service has opened for me. Meaning to say there are many ministries, there are many adversaries as well, but I will be with you. I'll make it a point. I'll spend time with you. That's the church that we should have. That in spite of the conflicts that we have with each other, we still love one another. Look at the next verse. Even Timothy, he charged Timothy, if Timothy comes, see to it that he is without cause to be. You know why that term cause to be afraid is there? Because Timothy have heard that the people, the church, Christians in Corinth, they backbite. They despise Paul. So Paul is saying to them, don't criticize him, support him, because he's doing the Lord's work as I also am. Let no one despise him. Send him on his way in peace, meaning to say, show him the love of the body of Christ. That's why there are a lot of videos saying that if you go to the church will just hurt you. Definitely, there are imperfect people in the church. All of us actually are imperfect. All of us will hurt one another. But that's why Paul is reminding them that in spite of our differences, let's learn to spend time to love one another. Even Apollos, concerning Apollos, our brother. You remember the people in Corinth, they're saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm Paul. And he's saying, we're one team, Apollos and I. Nag-uusap kami, oh. We're talking. I encourage him greatly to come to you, to the brethren. It was not at all his desire to come now, but eventually, Paul said, Apollos told me, so why are you all fighting? We're all one team, right? Even if Ateneo lost last night, it's okay. I'm still happy, okay? So let's go on. You know, when the world sees how we love and build up one another, they will be attracted to Jesus. It's a given fact. When the world sees how we love one another, they will be attracted to Jesus. That's why in Acts chapter 2, look at what happened in Acts chapter 2. Day by day, they continued meeting with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Do you like to have D groups every day? Ito, day by day. Oh. Some of us, we have D groups once a quarter. Hindi na once a week. I urge you, we have to continue meeting. I think the effect of the pandemic, we feel like, I don't need to meet my D group on a regular basis. Look at them, day by day. Imagine if we require that in CSEB, oh, every day, oh, tomorrow, or oh, then next week, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But the good thing about this culture or their family is this. They were praising God. They're having favor with all people. And look at the effect. The Lord was, let's read this together. The Lord was adding to their number day by day. Those who were being saved. You know why? Because the people in the Roman Empire, they were amazed. This group of people, they're weird, but it's a good kind of weird. I want to join them. I want to learn what they're doing. How come they love one another? How come their conversations are, it's fun. It's not green jokes. It's not, you know, they don't curse one another, but they enjoy. They support one another. And how they handle conflict? They are able to reconcile. Do you know, when it comes to conflict, the world is failing on how to resolve conflicts. They have a good ideologies, good maybe processes, but it's not enough. Because God is the best person to resolve conflicts. That's why here in CCF, I'm so glad that we have marriages that almost separated, but we're able to help them because of God's work, because of God's Holy Spirit. Can we applaud our God for His amazing work? That's what happens when we love one another. You know, one story that I have, one of my disciples, he's one of our campus missionaries in the college ministry here in Elevate. He tried to model this, apply this principle of loving one another and building a small community. So he started, him and his wife, Angela, Osip and Angela, they started their small group, campus small group in their home. It's in the Ortigas area, so near the Ortigas campuses. So they invited the students, they shared the gospel, ministered to them, and they grew. They bonded together, they shared meals with each other, have fellowship, they go to bowling, they do other activities, because it's a spiritual family. And D group should be like that. It's not just like, okay, we're studying the Bible and that's it. Because some of us, our mindset of D group is, okay, I'm studying the Bible. Bible is part of that. But the bigger part of our small group is the loving community. Let's not forget that. Because yes, we will study the Bible together, but we need to love one another. So they enjoyed loving each other, sharing stories, being accountable. And their numbers grew because the friends of these students started getting attracted to this youth group. So they started getting invited to this group, and they started also inviting other friends. And then the ministry grew. They even celebrated birthdays together. They have fellowship together. In fact, I think some of their students who lives in the province, but they're studying here in the Ortigas area, they're renting an apartment. Since the family, the spiritual family grew closer, some of those students decided to move an apartment to where nearby Osip and Angela. You know, for what purpose? So that they can attend D group more. So that they can serve together more. They're helping out in their campus ministry. And then this group, they are the ushers of our SNS. And they even serve together in the MOVE conference. In their discipleship area alone, Osip and Angela, they have 51 D groups. It's all by the grace of God. And I'm not sharing this because, wow, ang daming numbers. No, no. The numbers will follow because the love is there. If the people see the love, they will truly be attracted to the movement of God. You know, people are looking for a genuine and loving community. And the church, listen to me here. I want to emphasize this. The church, though it's imperfect, is the best place to find it. Now, I want you to listen intently here. Because I know some of you, especially our young people here, those who are millennials and Gen Z, you've watched videos of people saying, kaya wala ako sa church eh. That's why I don't like to be in the church. Why? Because they're saying, you know, the church is imperfect. The church, they have difficult people. That's right. Church is imperfect. That's why there's a joke. If there's a perfect church, don't go there. Because the moment you go there, it's already imperfect. Because that's right. The church is imperfect. But the church is also the best place to find a genuine loving community. You can't find that elsewhere. That's why God... Yes, let's give glory to the Lord. That's why God created the church. Because He wants His body to be the source of His love. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So I'm talking to the young people here and even to everyone. Those who are not part of a small group, why are you not part of a small group? I don't understand.
Maybe you feel like, yeah, I have my group already, and yeah, they're loving. But look at the difference between bad company and good company. Good company meaning to say the church, the body of Christ. The good company leads you closer to Jesus because you're going to study the Bible. Bad company leads you farther away from Jesus. They may teach you good principles, but it's not about Jesus. Good company will help you become more like Jesus. That's why they will rebuke you. They will remind you. In fact, some of those people who posted videos online that they got hurt by the church, you know one of the reasons why they leave the church? They got rebuked. And they don't want rebuke. How will you grow if you don't accept rebuke? Of course, the church, because they love you, they will tell you, you need to improve here. Right? In a company, if you want to be successful, the boss will rebuke you. That's why in the church, we do that as well. In a bad company, you become less like Jesus. In a good company, they speak the truth in love. Definitely, we have to remind one another. In a bad company, that's why they stay longer there. Why? Because they speak what you want to hear, but not necessarily true. You just want to hear messages that tickle your ears. Ah, this is fun naman eh. Yes, I'm not saying it's not fun, but is it worth it? Is it going to lead you to closer to Jesus? It's going to build you up, good company, the church. It's going to tear you down, those who are not part of the church. It will care for you with the Christ-like love. What's the difference with the bad company? Because people are saying, you know, non-Christians, they care for me. I know they care for you. But that's a worldly love. It's still incomplete. Majority, if not all of the people that I know who left the church and are not part of a community, they're struggling. Maybe they say they're having fun, but the heart is empty. Because they're not part of a community. And look at the last one. It leads you to the right convictions. But the bad company, it leads you to what? The wrong convictions. I know you have good friends. I'm not saying you leave your friends. But what I'm saying is you need to be part of a community. That all of us should be part of a community. And your friends, you invite them to be part of a community. Because that's the only place where you will experience genuine love. What's our message again? Together, let's abound. God's work. Again, say that together. One, three, go. Together in God's work. We need to love one another. And furthermore, look at how Paul explained the chapter. Be on the alert. He was reminding the people. That's his love for them. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be mature. Be strong. Steadfast. Connected to chapter 15. And then verse 14. Let's read this together. Let all that you do be done in love. Again, a reminder of loving one another. When we give, do it out of love. When you have conflicts with each other, let all be done in love. Meaning to say, we do whatever we can to resolve our conflicts. We do whatever we can to forgive. We do whatever we can to care for one another. So tell your seatmate, I will do whatever I can to love you. Go. Your family member, yan. I will do whatever I can to love you. Because that's what the church should be. And then he gave examples. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. They were the first fruits of Achaia. They have devoted themselves for the ministry. Examples of people serving there. And what is his command? Be subject, in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. We support one another. The ushers that you see here, don't disrespect them. You honor them. You be in subjection to them. Those people in the parking space that tells you how you can't park there, let's be respectful in subjection to one another. Because in Ephesians, that's God's command, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21, be subject to mutual submission. It was a culture that Paul was trying to implement in the early church. And not just mutual submission, but mutual honoring of one another. In verse 17, I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatos, Achaeus. You can use that as names of your children. Because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. They have refreshed my spirit. Look at their culture. They're refreshing one another, encouraging one another. Therefore, what do? Acknowledge, honor, recognize these people. Imagine if that's the culture of the church. We submit, mutual submission. We honor, respect one another. That's gonna be life-changing. It's gonna change this movement. It's gonna impact this world. And then at the Church of Asia, greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Imagine, you know what I appreciate about CCF? Wherever you go, if you find a CCF church there, It's like family. Right? You go to Hong Kong, there's a CCF in Hong Kong, and if you find out, oh, you're from CCF, tina mo, lilibre kayo. No, don't make that, don't abuse that. We are from CCF. No. But the family is there. Diba before, ako my experience before, when I go to abroad, I look for my relatives. And that's good. I also look for my relatives when I'm abroad. But now, aside from looking for my relatives, you know who I look for? The CCFers who are there. Because it's like family. It's like that, it's like we have connection already. And the pure love is there. And I see how they care for one another. And they are also encouraged when we visit them. So when you go abroad, you find CCFers there because we're all over the place. So can we just again, let's give glory to our Lord for what He's doing. That's what a church should be. And then look at verse 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. If you like a girl and you're courting her, don't use this versa. Hey, let's have a holy kiss. Okay, the holy kiss is a greeting. Like in other countries today, they still have the beso beso, right? That's their greeting. So don't use this as a style to, oh yeah, let's have a holy kiss. That's their greeting in their culture. We don't do that in our culture. And then the last few verses, the greeting is in my own hand, Paul. That's how usually he writes. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be a curse. Again, reminder for them. And Maranatha, meaning to say, come Lord Jesus. So he's also reminding them that we are seeking the coming of our Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. That's the culture that Paul wanted the church to have. What's our message again? Together, let's abound in God's work. How do we do that? We give abundantly and we love abundantly. Now I've asked my father-in-law to share his testimony how somebody reached out to him during the early days of CCF and how his life, his family was transformed. And the reason why I want him to share this, I've heard this many times, but when I saw how they loved one another, I said to myself, that's an Acts chapter 2 church. So let's all welcome my father-in-law, Pastor Ito De Jesus.
Hello, everyone. I am Pastor Ito De Jesus. I met my wife, Kata. She's here right now. When she was in fourth year high school, I was in first year college. We were teenage sweethearts. After 5 years, we got married. And we believed that we would have a happy and joyful marriage. But after 10 years, we were talking about separation. During our time of conflict, my wife was invited to a Bible study which was held in someone's garage. I guess you would say that this is where CCF started. The teacher was a certain Peter Tanchi. And it was his wife, Diona, who shared the gospel with my wife. As Kanta continued to go to Bible studies, I saw her change from a person who fought with me almost daily to someone who is calm and peaceful. I wanted that kind of peace in my life. So after a year, I finally went with my wife to Bible study. I committed my life to Jesus when I was 34 years old in a noisy Chinese restaurant. It was Pastor Peter. He also paid for the Chinese restaurant, who shared about Jesus with me. But back then, he was just called Peter. I closely observed Pastor Peter's life because I really wanted to learn how to be a good husband and a father. I saw that he had a happy family. So I watched how he treated Diona and how he taught, discipled, and played with his children. Our two families became good friends. We live near each other. So Pastor Peter and Diona would often bike over to our house and ask for water and stayed a little bit longer for merienda. Many times, they would invite our family to go swimming with them in Valley Golf or even go to Baguio or spend birthdays and New Year's Eves together. Just our two families. Our children would play with each other in each other's houses. The Tanchi children were very cheerful and well-behaved. They loved sports, were fun to be with them, and very appreciative. They were a good influence on our children. Eventually, we became Ninong and Ninangs to Joy and Edric and Paul and Jenny when they got married. Pastor Peter and Diona would talk to us casually about marriage, finances, parenting, and business. They shared personal experiences and biblical principles. It was very interesting. We didn't know that they were already discipling us. On Wednesdays, we would go to Pastor Peter's Bible study or Bible class in AIM. On Fridays, we'll have a small group Bible study in his house and in our house. We traveled together with other CCF friends. Our marriages, our families, our businesses continued to improve. Then suddenly, without warning, Pastor Peter and I became classmates in the tragedy of our lives. In 1991, around 10 robbers entered our house, tied us up, and stole a big amount of money from us. By God's grace, no one was seriously injured. But 1 year later, another group of robbers entered the Tanchi home. It was a time of great sadness for both our families. We had to apply what we learned from the Bible to keep believing that God loves us and He wants only the best for us. After the EDSA revolution, because of politics, I had to close down my business. I was surprised when Pastor Peter offered me an executive position in his company. He taught me how to do mass housing and real estate development. As a friend and brother in Christ, I knew I had to work hard for him. So, for example, when there are problems with homeowners, I would go to Cavite at 4 o'clock in the morning or very late in the evening to meet with the residents to show them the company's concern. After 7 years, I moved to Ayala Land where I was offered an executive position. With what Pastor Peter taught me, the Lord allowed my division to attain a record-breaking sale of 680 houses and lots in a few months.
Thank you.
In one of the MANCOM meeting, where the president of Ayala and all their vice presidents were there, they asked me, what did you do to sell 680 houses? They were expecting I developed more brokers or expanded my brokerage or something like that. And they asked again, what did you do? I said, I prayed. And there was silence, silence in that meeting. I was also able to recommend Pastor Peter's company to do a big mass housing project for Ayala. Some of his staff thanked me for saving their jobs because there was a high housing crisis at that time. Around 2003, my fellow elders in CCF encouraged me to become a full-time executive pastor under Pastor Peter and later to oversee national church planting. So with other church workers, we set up satellite churches such as CCF East and manage other satellites in Luzon, Visayas and Mindanao. It was a very exciting time for all of us. However, in 2006, while preaching, I suffered a stroke and had to rest for some time. In one of our trips to the U.S., my wife and I saw several welcome centers in the churches we visited. So Pastor Peter allowed me to set up the very first welcome center in CCF, assisted by some of our D12 members. Pastor Peter also allowed me to head the CCF East satellites and to conduct yearly Holy Week retreats. Using the seed money from our retreats, our D12 planted CCF Antipolo. Then with other pastors, we planted CCF Eastwood and CCF Katipunan. I praise God that even after my stroke, the strong support of my discipler allowed me to be fruitful. Lastly, another amazing thing happened. Pastor Peter asked me to head Uplift Cares Global Movement. Uplift provides Christian discipleship and academic scholarship to out-of-school youth and adults. By God's grace and the support of very generous donors, Uplift has graduated more than 3,000 out-of-school youths and adults from high school through the alternative learning system. For many years, Uplift had one of the highest passing rates nationwide. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Today, Uplift supports 175 students from senior high to college. Pastor Peter will be 74 in December. On December 2, remember that. So if he speaks on December, on Sunday, you better say happy birthday. He is 74 and I am 72. Over the last 37 years, I have seen him grow to be a humble servant of the Lord. When he makes a mistake, he asks forgiveness. And when we, as the early elders of CCF, would disagree with him, he would accept our decision. When he does something right, he gives the credit to God. He is intentional and disciplined with his time, money, and abilities. Pastor Peter is a natural leader. My wife and I are grateful to Pastor Peter and Diana for being a big part of our journey to becoming workers for the Lord. Our prayer for them, when they meet the Lord, Jesus would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master." Pray with me with that prayer. My prayer for all of us is that we would finish well. Just the last words of Apostle Paul, he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Most of all, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of using me for most of my life. My name is Pastor Ito De Jesus. To God, I give all the glory, honor, and praise.
Past my father-in-law's discipler, Pastor Peter, and Sister Diona, and of course my mother-in-law, Amikada.
I thought you were talking about eulogy. I thought I was dead already. Pare. Pastor Ito and I, you may not believe this. We have disagreements. We have problems. But you know, we know how to resolve it. That's why we cannot get away from each other, because of the love of Christ. Amen? So I want to pray for Ito and Kata. Marty, where are you? Come here. Marty, where is your wife? Yeah, bring your wife here, quickly. And the family. Yeah, all the children. Come here. It's about time your children step up more. Come. Come. Marito. Yeah. You know, guys, I realize how true it is. Old friends are like old wine. They taste better as the years go by. You know, while this guy was talking, I don't know why he has to mention my age. Ito, why do you have to mention your age? You know, someday we will be 100 already and we'll still be good morning. No, hey guys, thank you for your prayers. The reason why we are young and we are still strong because of all of you. Amen? So, why don't we all raise our right hand and pray, and it is all because of God's glory. Let's pray for this family. You know why? Christianity is only one generation away from extinction. Let me repeat. You may come to Christ. What about your children? What about your children's children? That's why we believe in discipleship. Begins at home, with your family, with your children. And I praise God for Marty. You know, Marty, you gave an amazing message. And the reality is no perfect church. And you tell your friend, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't tell them to come, because the moment they come, this church will not be perfect, okay? And we love people, amen? And we pray for each other, amen? All right. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Ito, for Kata, for their faithfulness and their children, how you have used them. And I pray that this family will continue to love you and serve you, and continue to give my brother Ito here good health, and Kata good health, so that we can keep on serving you. And above all, Lord, we pray that we will always and ultimately hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I also pray for my wife also. Thank you for using her to disciple Kata and all of the wonderful people that you have brought into our lives. I now commit to you this church that we will grow together to be more loving, to be more faithful, and above all, to give glory to your name. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor Peter. Now, we'll do something different as we close this series. What's our message again? Together, let's abound in God's work. Why don't we all stand? We're going to sing this song. And let me explain why I asked my father-in-law to share. Because when I heard that story, I was really amazed. You know, our ministry in Elevate, we are 250 or over 250 workers. And my prayer is we will somehow follow their model. How they evangelized, how they discipled, how they love one another. My prayer is that in the ministry, we will do that. So that after generations, this movement will continue. Now, here's what we're going to do as we sing this song. I want you to put your hands on the shoulder of your seatmate or akbayan nyo kung kilala nyo siya. So, let me call on our music team. And this is, I think, the theme song of 2023. This song. So, we're going to sing this, but we changed the lyrics into plural. Because as a church, I know we've experienced the goodness of God. So, why don't we sing this together?
You, Lord, for your mercy never fails. All our days we've been held in your hands. From the moment that we wake up until we lay our heads, oh, we will sing of the goodness of God. And all our lives you have been faithful. And all our lives you have been so, so good. With every breath that we are in, we will sing of the good.
In prayer. Father God, thank you so much because indeed your goodness and love has been running after each and every one of us and in this church as well. We're not perfect. We have struggles. This church is not perfect. But by your grace, you're still using this movement to make an impact in this country and all over the world. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, abound in your work. We pray that all of us will be together, united, in giving to the work of the Lord, in loving one another. And I pray that everybody will be part of this community where we can grow in our love for you and for one another. Lord, I pray that we will continue the modeling that our leaders have done, the evangelism, the discipleship, the love, and their commitment to you. I pray that all of us will continue doing that for the rest of our lives. We love you, we honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you all.
Good day, CCF family. Welcome to Sunday Fast Track, where you ask real life questions and we give you biblical truths. I'm Zia Atienza, a campus missionary of the Elevate Ministry, and we're here today with our speaker, Pastor Marty Ocaya, to answer some of your questions. So how are you, Pastor Marty?
Doing good. How are you, Zia?
Great. Praise God. I'm really blessed by your message.
Praise God.
So are you ready for our questions?
Go. Go tayo.
All right. So we know that God loves a cheerful giver. And as we share on Sundays, giving is from the heart. It is not forced. Mm-hmm. So for people who are short on funds, is it okay to withhold tithing in order to save up for our needs, for our family and for ourselves?
I think one best example there is when Jesus saw this old lady that mm-hmm. he gave from all that she had, right? Remember mm-hmm. that? I think it's in the book of Luke. So that one is a perfect model that giving is not dependent on how much income you have, mm-hmm. but it's dependent on your heart. So when God impresses on your heart to give, regardless mm-hmm. of how big that is or how small that is,
yeah.
as long as it's from the heart and you do it as a commitment to the Lord, God will bless you. And you'll be surprised that when you start giving, God will continue to provide for your needs because mm-hmm. we can never, ever outgive God.
Wow. Praise God. So it doesn't matter how much we give, mm-hmm. but it matters if our heart is really genuine in giving yes. to the Lord. And the Lord will provide for your
yes.
needs. All right. Thank you, Pastor Marty, for answering our questions
you,
and that encouragement. Praise God. But before we go, we are celebrating Elevate Month this November, and today is our last week. So if you have the desire to be part of the campus movement by being a campus missionary like me, or by supporting the movement in any capacity, or if you want to serve with us in Elevate, visit the Elevate booth at the ground floor lobby today, or go to the Elevate main FB page to know more. And that's it for Sunday Fast Track. God bless.